That's not a word we normally use in our English language, right? Very few people that you talk and converse to. That's exceedingly wonderful, right? But the Bible uses that in emphasis that it magnifies the horror of sin. So that when you see sin as it is, you run. That's the only way we can be free from sin. So the commandment seems to play an important part. The commandment represents the law. The law needs to somehow create in us an understanding to be able to see sin the way God sees. Now Jesus knows this, and in His prayer, in the book of John chapter 17, look over at John chapter 17. In His prayer, He mentions this, especially when He prayed for us, the church. John chapter 17, verse 17. 17, 17. It says, sanctify them. And remember, the word sanctify is the same as make holy. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So His word or His commandments are the key for us to reach full sanctification. Now, I like the way He divided it. Sanctify them by your truth. And then He says, His word is truth. Now, why separate the thing? He could have easily said, sanctify them by the word. But He goes a long way and says, sanctify them by your truth. And then He says, your word is truth. He's telling us there are two processes of the word. You see, the word, this Bible can be bought at any bookshop. It can even be bought by any Christian, any non-Christian with enough money. But to the non-Christian, and to the person who doesn't know God, it is a storybook. It is not truth. We believe it is the Word of God. But if they don't have to, if they don't believe that it's the Word of God, then to them it's not truth. It's a fable. A story. Historical events that may or may not be accurate to them. So we had the Word, and there are many things that this Word says about this life, about everything. But not everything in this Word has become truth to us. Because if we are slowly getting into the truth of God's Word. Let me give an example of a man. There's this Singaporean man. And he shared his testimony, so it's alright to quote his testimony. And before he was born again, he lived with two women. And they are very good to him. They're both very good to him. They took care of him. And they cooked for him. And it was like he was living with two wives, although they were not registered. One day he became born again. And he says, when he started reading the Bible, there's only one passage of Bible he never liked. One passage he never liked. The part that says, you shall not commit adultery. He never liked that. He always wanted to avoid that. Or he would try to find passages to justify himself. So, when he tries to justify himself, say, oh, the Bible. Oh, Solomon has only 1,000 wives. David has many wives. And Abraham has two wives. And Jacob has two wives. And what do you mean, therefore you, right? After quoting all these things, I know where he's heading. Therefore, you are going to have more, right? Says, the only problem is, Jesus' answers is this. In the beginning, it was not so. Yes, in the beginning it was not so. And in fact, you and us, then why does the Bible record that? The Bible records that to tell us that that is where their problems start. Has anyone in the Bible had more than one wife who never had problems with them? Never! Not even Abraham. Yes, not even Papa, Father Abraham. He had problems. Solomon had problems because of his many wives. David has problems because of his many wives. The Bible records that to tell us, these are the people who have done like that, and these are the consequences. In the beginning, it was not so. So he knew the word, but the word was not truth to him. You know when it becomes truth? When you accept that it is for your life. When it becomes living. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so finally he struggles. And every time he gets convicted in the same area. Until finally, one day after a meeting, he went back home. And he says, look, this is the Bible. And he says, I can't do this anymore. And he says, you got to go. Emotionally, it was difficult. Because it's emotional and soul ties. But he followed the word. And in the end, they both left. And then he was alone again. And God started showing up in his life. So what has happened? The word was there, but it took time to become truth to him. And when it became truth to him, then he was sanctified in the area and God started showing up. And he became used by God mightily. He's never been to this part before, but God started using him mightily. There is a cause involved. There, I could quote some famous people that you know. Catherine Kuhlman. She had an affair with a married man. Right. You read a biography. Under normal circumstances, she had a good... You know, in the end, the married man left his wife, divorced his wife, and they got married. But she was never happy. Now, if you look at circumstances, the past is the past. The person is divorced and here's yours. But she was the cause of the divorce. And God was not pleased. She could go on the rest of her life and become a mediocre, misery housewife. None of us would have heard about her today. And she could live and die and gone to heaven and receive a small reward. But she keeps struggling and struggling. The Holy Spirit wants to use her, but she wouldn't let go. In the end, she talks about one fine day, when she was walking down a street, she never mentioned which street, she was walking, struggling with this conviction in her heart. See, the word was trying to become truth to her. She knew that what she was doing was wrong. She knew that she was just wrong. And she walked, and so one day she walked until she reached a dead end street. And in the Bible she says, her life was like that, a dead end. And right at the dead end she says, Holy Spirit, I yield. From that day onward she consecrated her life, she chose a single life, and she gave herself to the Holy Ghost. In other words, she was like married to the Holy Ghost. She chose never more to have any relationship. She chose only to be a dedicated vessel of God. From that moment on, when she sanctified herself, the Holy Spirit started working powerfully. And through her one life, in fact, the charismatic move had used many people. But she was like the bulwark behind the charismatic move. That affected people far and wide. Think about, she has died and gone to be with God. Think about the reward she is now enjoying in heaven. What she could have missed. She had two choices. To choose to be a mediocre Missouri housewife. Or to choose to be a vessel of God. With a call of God on her. She chose correctly. And today, she has won thousands to the Lord. Affected millions of lives. And brought miracles in ways that no one has. The truth has become hers. The word has become truth to her. So there are many things in the word here. They are speaking into our life. Until you and I act on them and accept them, they are not truth yet. They are just the word. It has the potential to sanctify us. when we accept it into our lives and obey the commandments of God, it becomes truth to us. Now, the word is so important, as we see. It begins to make sin horrible. It begins to make sin exceedingly sinful. So that we know it is terrible and horrible. You notice an important key here to holiness. There must be a change on our inside. Holiness is not changing from outside in. Holiness is changing from inside out. Holiness is changing from inside out. That is why, if you try, a lot of people think holiness is thou shalt not do this, do that. You try with the outward things to change people, it doesn't last long. You could go and get a piglet or a pig, a different types of pig, and you could scrub the pig, dress the pig, put perfume on the pig, put the pig on a nice sofa. But if there's mud anywhere around, the pig would still run to the mud. Because it loves the mud. Unless the pig's nature change. So the nature of sin will keep drawing us to sin. So something inside us has to change. When we were born again, there is a new nature placed within us. Now many people struggle with holiness. And it is like holiness is way up there. Higher than an Empire State Building. Taller than the World Trade Center. High up there, holiness is here. And we feel we are down here. Impossible to achieve. Let me point out to this fact. Holiness is inherent in our nature. I want to make that statement again. Holiness is inherent in our nature when God first made man. Not only did we have a sin nature, but we have, that's a funny thing, we have also a holiness nature from our creation. Because of that part of us that sense holiness, people who live in sin are highly convicted all the time. I mean, if you do something wrong, no one has to tell you. You struggle. For example, how do lie detectors work? Lie detectors work because when you're telling a lie, although there are people who try to train themselves against that, but generally they work because every time you tell a lie and you say something wrong, your body reacts against you. Your whole body was created for holiness. Your whole being was created to tell the truth. So that when you tell the truth, your whole body is saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every time you tell a lie, your whole body goes, and the lie detector catches it all. Your body reacts against it. See, I want to make you see a picture here that the devil is blinding people. Somehow we have the idea that holiness is difficult. No. God has made it available for us. It is in our nature to be holy. That's why we are convicted of sin. Which part of you convicts you of sin? Your conscience. There's something within us that tells us when we do wrong. That's the part created after holiness. Now that part can be polluted, a conscience can be hardened, etc. But the fact is, every criminal today, every person out there sinning and not walking with God, right now feels condemnation. No one has to lift up their voice and condemn them. Something is troubling them. Some of them find it hard to sleep. Some of them are in trouble. They have to drown their sorrows. They have to drown all the things, the terrible thoughts that are convicting them daily. Because they were not created for sin. We were created for holiness. And every part of our being rebels against it. So when God comes into our life to Jesus, there is a nature of holiness imparted into our lives. And it's to draw out that nature from us. to draw forth that nature, we need to know where the battle lies.